Well, we'd better pray, because it might make some of you mad. Okay. Father, I thank you that you brought me here, Lord God. I thank you that you've given me this word tonight, Lord. Father, I just pray that there'd be ears to hear in this place. Lord, that you give us eyes to see the truth about what you've said to us, Jesus. And I thank you for it, and I thank you for what you're going to do. And I just ask that you'd watch over every word of my mouth, Holy Spirit, that everything that I would speak tonight would come directly from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to preach the gospel. I think we're in the right place, right?
Yeah.
Are you alive? Are you okay? The thing is, I want to preach the gospel that Jesus preached. And there seems to be like a difference in what most people and what most believers believe today is the gospel and what Jesus preached as the gospel. If you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, verse 14, the gospel is also known as the good news, right? If you have a topical Bible like mine, or if you have like a reference Bible, it'll say in bold letters right here, mine, this is the NIV, it says, Jesus announces the good news. So Jesus is about to tell us what the gospel is. He's about to tell us what is the good news. And in verse 14, or we'll just go verse 15, he says, the time has come. He said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What is the good news? That the kingdom of God has come.
Amen. That's right.
God has been stirring this up in me for weeks, right? And then Pastor Mark asked me last week, hey, do you want to speak next Wednesday? I said, yes, absolutely. And so I started asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? He's like, well, I've already been telling you about all that kingdom stuff. So, and then I woke up on Friday morning about 4:30, and it was like I was connected to the main line, you know, just, I mean, it was like going off. And I wrote like all these notes, you know, I mean, it was crazy. And then I opened the Bible, and it was like, oh, I mean, I could just see as clear as day. And it's all about the kingdom. Jesus always preached the kingdom. If you go to Matthew chapter 4, somewhere in here it is, verse 17. If you look at the top in your bold letters, it says Jesus begins to preach. And what did he preach in verse 17? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's all about the kingdom. Everything he talked about was about the kingdom. It was about a king bringing his kingdom and establishing it on earth. That's what the good news is. Now, if you ask the modern believer today, and I've tried this just because I wanted to see if I could really say this and feel confident about it. So I asked some people, if you ask the modern believer today, the modern Christian today, what is the gospel? They'll say something like this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth. He died on a cross to forgive us of our sins. He was buried and on the third day rose again. And nothing about what they said is wrong. Everything about what they said is correct, but it's not the full truth. There is a difference between a fact and the truth. Okay? Anybody want to throw rocks at me yet? They didn't mention anything about his kingship. They didn't mention anything about his kingdom. And it's not their fault. Because today, I was in the car all day, and so I'm like, we'll just see what's on Christian radio. Not one time did I hear the word kingdom. Not one time. If you turn on the television, you will rarely hear a word or a message about the kingdom. You'll hear great messages like life lessons, you'll hear encouraging words, you'll hear things that inspire you, but you rarely hear things about the kingdom. Now, I am grateful that we're at Grace Church, and this church is run by people that believe the kingdom has come to this earth.
Amen.
Those two people right there are kingdom-building people. And God has been telling him the same thing. He walked over and he said, are you preaching on the kingdom? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I won't tell you. He's starting a series on it. So, I'm planting the seed. Sorry. Did I just blow it? Okay. I didn't know, right? I didn't know that. So I said, well, I'll just try to tee it up for you. And I don't have a lot of time, so my goal tonight is just to plant a seed in you that you go home and you start watering. Because I can't share with you everything that God showed me on this because it's too much. The word kingdom in the New Testament is mentioned 162 times. 162 times. 106 of those times, it's Jesus that says it. It is the central figure to his message. And we never hear about it out there. No one ever declares it to anyone. It's what he told the disciples to go proclaim. It's what Paul proclaimed. You know, theologians will tell you, well, I beg to disagree because he said that all I preach is Christ and him crucified. Well, you have to read that verse in context. If you read the last chapter of Acts, the last verse of Acts, Acts 28, verse 31. Okay, yeah, you can read the whole thing. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all that came to see him. Next verse.
Next verse. Next verse.
31. Okay, I'll read it. We'll get there. Hang on. I thought we were going to have it up there. Sorry. He proclaimed the kingdom of God. What did he proclaim? The kingdom of God. And he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Proclaiming something out in the world and teaching your disciples about the Lord Jesus Christ are two different things. Okay? Without hindrance, with boldness, he proclaimed the kingdom of God. Man, that's awesome. Now, what people believe today is a fact about the gospel. The difference between a fact and the truth is like this. If I'm holding an apple seed, let's say this is an apple seed. You see this apple seed in faith? You see this? What am I holding in my hand? What am I holding in my hand? An apple seed, right? That is a fact. But the truth about this apple seed is that within this seed is an orchard. Because in this seed is a tree, and on that tree is fruit. And in that fruit is what? And again, and again, and again. So this seed, the truth about this seed is that it is an orchard. You see what I'm saying? There is a difference between a fact and the truth. The other thing is, what does the Bible say that the truth does? Sets you free. How many Christians do you know believe what I told you was their version of the gospel, but are still in bondage? If what they believed was the truth, they would be free. They would not be dealing with addictions, with depression, with anxiety, making every decision from a place of fear as opposed to a place of love. Right? It's because they don't know the truth, and it's not their fault. It's because we who know the truth got to go tell them. There are some Christians that need to get saved. There are some Christians that need to get saved. I am out there in the darkness, the kingdom of darkness. You know there's two kingdoms, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. Do you know that the word darkness in the Greek is the same word they use for ignorance? Do you know that the word light is the same word they use for knowledge? There's a bunch of people living in ignorance. And it's just because they don't know. They don't know that Jesus has come to establish a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So, it's hard for us as people who live in a democracy and always have lived in a democracy to visualize and understand what it's like to live in a kingdom. When you live under a kingship, when you live in a kingdom, the king has all the authority. He does what he wants to do. He wants your land, he takes it, right? He wants your daughter as his wife, she's mine. He wants you dead, you're dead. That's it, right? And the citizens of the kingdom are always subject to the nature and the character of the king. So, if you have a good king, you have good life. If you have bad king, you have bad life, right? If you have good king die, bad king come, now what happened to your life? Just changed, went from good to bad. Let me tell you what's good. The good news about our King is that he came, he established the principles and the foundations, the things that function within his kingdom, the way the world works inside his kingdom. Then when he died, he defeated it, which means when he rose from the dead, his principles never change because he'll never die. That's good news. That's good news to somebody who's stuck in depression, to somebody who's just, and you know what? Depression's a rough thing, man. It's like seeing a party on the other side of a glass window. It's like, you know, it's there. I know that I should be happy. There were times in my life when I dealt with those things. I know I should be happy, but I just can't get there. I don't know what it is. Well, when you go to that person who has depression and you tell them something like, hey, Jesus loves you, they don't care. I know that sounds hard to hear, but if you've been in that place before, you know what I'm talking about. But if you tell them, did you know that there's a kingdom that exists? There's a world that exists. And I can show you that world. And in that world, these things that you deal with, these things that you're suffering from, they don't have to be the way they are. They don't have to be the way they are. You get to choose. Well, how do I get into that kingdom? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. It's different. It's different. Okay. When you come to faith in Christ, you do not become a part of a religion. That was never his plan. Jesus Christ is not a religious figure. He is a king. And there is a difference. When you come to faith in Christ, you become a citizen in a kingdom. You do not become a member of a religious organization. There is a big, big difference. There is a big difference. Why? Because I just told you that the citizens' lives are subject to the nature and the character of the king. And here's the kicker. In his kingdom, he says not only, do you get to be a citizen in the greatest kingdom that has ever existed and will ever exist, but you become a member of the royal family. I have adopted you as a son and a daughter. Here you go. All the authority that I have, remember that authority I was just talking about? The kings have it all. Well, he has all of their authority too. And he says, all the authority that I have in heaven and earth, I'm giving it to you, dude. It's yours now. Now, partner with me and help me help you advance this kingdom. That's our mission on this planet. He ain't coming back until we do. We got to give everybody the opportunity to be a citizen in this kingdom. If you go out into the world and you preach anything else, you're holding them up. We got to preach the kingdom because it changes people's lives. Because the principles that are in his kingdom do not look the way the principles of the world look. This message, I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this, this message is relevant to your life. It is absolutely relevant to your life because if your identity becomes a son or a daughter of a king, you don't deal with things the same way. Do you think a prince deals with things the same way as a guy who lives out in the commons area of a kingdom? Absolutely not. It should look a little different, don't you think? So here's how it's relevant to you. A bill comes in the mail. You don't have the money in the bank. The kingdom of this world says, bro, you are broke. You ain't got no money. And that's when the principles of the kingdom kick in. And they say, well, my king owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. My king, he knows what I need before I ask. My king knows what I need. And he said, if you ask, I'll give it to you. Does that sound simple enough? I mean, it's crazy, and it's so simple, but I'm telling you, these principles have changed my life. They've changed my life. When people tell you, you shouldn't take your three children to India with you, you know what? Do you think that's a good idea? I don't know if that's a good idea that you take them because, you know, there's all those diseases over there. People say these kinds of things, right? Thankfully, my family is supportive. That's not the people. But there are people that think that, right? And that's when the kingdom of God principles kick in. And they say, you don't know who we serve. He told me to go into all the world. He told me some crazy stuff, like I'm going to be able to pick up snakes and drink poison, all kinds of stuff. I mean, I'm not going to go do that. But don't you think, I mean, like when you begin to walk out the principles of the kingdom, your life looks different. I'm telling you, it looks different. And do you know what happens with your life? It begins to produce fruit. And it's the fruit that's attractive to the world. The other night I played at a club, and I did this podcast beforehand with these two guys, and they said, man, we don't know what it is, but we just love being around you. That ain't me. I ain't that cool. I mean, I'm all right, but I'm the son of a king, and he's made me a king and a priest. And so I carry myself that way. I have joy. And I take that joy with me. And you know what happens when you go into a dark place and you're light? Everybody looks at you. It's pretty simple. I mean, like if we turned out all the lights in this room, we lit one match, it would illuminate more than you can imagine. The darker it gets, the better it gets. This message is timely for where we are in this country. It's timely. Do you know why? Because it's dark, man. People are crazy. They are. And it's only because they don't know the truth. They just don't know. And it's okay. Do you know what? We're supposed to have compassion on those people. Jesus had compassion. If we want to be his disciples, how will they know we are? They know us by our fruit. Man, we got to get a hold of this kingdom thing and produce some fruit in our lives. So that, I mean, this place will be busting at the seams. Busting at the seams. Who wouldn't want to come to a place where the people don't act like those people out there? Who wouldn't want to come? You know, there's this church in California. It's Bethel Redding. You know, Bethel has some of the greatest worship music there is. We played a couple of those songs tonight. And Bill Johnson said, the pastor there, he read a critique. Someone criticized his church online. And they said, that place ain't nothing but Disney World. And he said, that sounds good to me. Disney World's the happiest place on earth. And guess what's going on in that church? They can't keep people, I mean, they can't keep people out, man. It's like overflow, you know? Worship. You know, that's why I love, man, when people just dance and sing. I heard somebody say it the other night. I think it was Kenneth Copeland's granddaughter, Kelly Copeland, or somebody. She said, God says, why would you try to act like the adults in the room if my presence is here? Worship should be fun, man. Why? Because we're sons and daughters of a king. When that becomes your identity, you can't help but be excited. You worship all day long. It ain't just come in, pay my dues, thank you, Lord, Jesus, hoo-ha. You know, like fighting all the way in. I've been there. Okay, my life is a little different now, but I'm telling you, I've been there. You know, mom comes in, griping, and the kids can't get dressed, and put my purse down. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Oh, and then pick up my purse right back to that same old garbage. That's not what this is about at all. We live in a culture that likes to just pay their dues. They got plenty of those people that come to this church. All they got to do is know the truth. All they got to do is know the truth. That there's a kingdom that exists. There's a kingdom that exists with principles in that kingdom that are healthy. Healthy principles. Healthy boundaries. If you read from Matthew 5 to Matthew 10, there's your homework. Go home and read from Matthew 5 to Matthew 10 with a lens on your eyes. Not scales. A lens on your eyes that says, okay, Jesus has come to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Let's see what his kingdom looks like. Go. And read Matthew 5 through 10. And then he sends out the disciples. And what does he tell them to do when he sends them out? Can we look Matthew 10, verse 7. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. When you go out those doors, the message we proclaim is that the kingdom of heaven has come. There's a world that exists that's so much better. I'm a dual citizen, right? Do I still live here on earth and in the United States? Absolutely. Am I still proud of my country? And absolutely. Do I drive 60 when the speed limit is 60? Most of the time. Most of the time. You know how many times I've been pulled over on this road right out here? Oh my gosh, those cops sit right down the street and if I'm running late, here they come. I'm like, oh Lord, I'm gonna put this Bible up on the dash. Don't give me a ticket in Jesus' name. I'm just going to lead worship. I'm in a hurry to worship Jesus. Can you be mad at me? That's called divine intimidation. That's what that's called. Well, how do you become a citizen in this kingdom? Well, Jesus made it pretty easy. He said, repent. Repent. Now, that doesn't mean crawl up here to the front and tell us everything you did bad in your life. Some of you may need to do that, and that's okay. There's nothing, the Bible says to confess your sins, and he'll forgive you, right? But when he says repent, it's a turning, right? It's 180 degrees. I was going this way, now I'm going this way. We know this, right? It is a paradigm shift in your mind. And then you begin to renew your mind on this side. And you begin to learn those principles and walk by those principles. When we adopt our daughters from India, the first thing you have to do when you get them here is denounce their citizenship in India. That's what he's telling you to do. Denounce your citizenship. The things that used to bind you to that world, cut them off. Come follow me. That's what he's saying. That means that the rules and the laws and all the things that apply to a woman in India no longer apply to my daughters. And now they follow the laws and the rules of the United States of America. It's that simple. So like when that doctor comes to you and gives you bad news, the world tells you, you're sick, you're gonna die. And I say, nope. I shall live and not die. And declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Ask Miss Carmen right here if that stuff doesn't work. Because she's still sitting here. And they told her she wouldn't be. That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom. I've been praying about this for like a year. Okay? And this is quick testimony here. I've been praying about this for a year. Every time I drive down 1187, I went to a graduation last year at the Mansfield Performing Arts Center. It's a huge, huge room, 6,000 seats. Amazing room. And I was like, man, I want to do a worship service in here. Yeah, we need to bring some Jesus up in here. Yes. And so I started praying about it then. And then every time I drive down 1187, I look over there, I think about that, and I just pray about that. And I just say, Lord, man, I just really want that room for one night. And we just gather up all the pastors in the area. I don't care what denomination they're from. I mean, you don't care. By the way, he doesn't care. He wants in those places. He wants in there. The Holy Spirit wants to just bust out of those places. If you don't pray for that Mormon church that's right there every Sunday when you pull out of this building, start doing it. Start doing it. And if you don't know what Mormonism is, then just Google it. It's worth the Google. It is some crazy stuff. And I'm not going to get into all that, but it's crazy. It ain't Jesus. It's not. And I love those people. And God loves those people. He wants them to know the truth. So I pray about this every time I'm driving down there. Lord, let me partner with you on that. That's the kind of stuff I say. Lord, let me partner with you on that. Let's get that building. I know you know who to talk to. And so what do? Anytime I'm in those circles, right, of city councilmen or the constable, Clint Burgess is a great friend. Hey, how do I get that Mansfield Performing Arts Center? How do I get that building? What do you want to do? I just want to do a big Jesus fest in there. Which maybe I'm not using the right verbiage, but that's what I want to do, man. I want to have a big concert in there. I want to get all the pastors together, and I want people to just come in there and worship Jesus, man, and spark a revival in this little town, and then let that just flow all over the United States, man. Okay, that sounds like a good idea. Here's the thing: to get the key to that building is about $10,000 to $15,000, and all that gets you is the parking lot and the key. I mean, that doesn't get you a staff, that doesn't get you sound, that doesn't get you janitor, that doesn't get you anything but a key and a parking lot. And I say, that's all right. God has all the money. I'm not worried about the money. You just tell me who I need to talk to get the building. Okay, we'll get in touch. Well, life gets in the way, things happen, nobody ever gets in touch, right? So here we are, just last weekend, I'm doing a concert, a benefit for the Mansfield Historic Society at the Mansfield Country Club, the Walnut Creek Country Club. And I'm doing the show. The show's great, and raise some money, and kids get sponsored. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And before the gig, the band and I always get together, and we pray. And we pray, and we prophesy. We speak life into the things that we want to see God do in that room. The power of life and death is in the tongue. What you say matters. What you say matters. And I said, Lord, I just believe tonight that somebody is going to come to me and say, God told me to tell you. We're not in a church, right? But I just believe somebody's going to come to me and say, God told me to tell you. And it's going to come from a source that maybe they've never said anything like that. Lord, I just believe you for that. I believe that's going to happen. And everybody's like, yeah, amen, okay, yeah. We do the gig. After the gig, we're breaking down. The last person that comes up to me is the mayor of Mansfield. And he says, hey, Josh. I said, yes, sir. He said, we did this concert this year, and we're going to do another one next year. And it's the Thursday before Thanksgiving. You think you're open on Thursday before Thanksgiving? I said, yeah, sure. He said, it's down at the Mansfield Performing Arts Center. I said, okay. He said, and what we do, and we did it this year, is we gather up all the pastors in Mansfield. And we get all their congregations, and we put them all in one room, and we just have a big Jesus fest. We just have a big worship service in there. And this year, we had Kirk Franklin do it. I'm not Kirk Franklin, by the way. I haven't won any Grammys yet. And he said, and God told me to tell you that that's your gig if you want it. And I turned around and looked at our drummer, Tim, and I said, did you hear that? And he said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. That's dope. That's dope. Why? Because he wants to partner with us on those things. Did it come in 3 weeks? No. But I just believe God wants to do that. What do you believe God wants to do in your life? What do you believe he wants to do? If I told you some of the stuff that I'm going to get to do next month, you would not believe me. And I can't tell you because it's like crazy top secret. And oh, I want to tell you so bad. And I'm the worst secret keeping. I can't do it. But all it's going to do is glorify God. Because I don't deserve it. I don't have the record deals, and I don't have the awards, and I don't have the things, the recognition to get what God's about to give me. And you just need to be praying. Here's what you pray. God, give Josh what he said you're going to give him. Because it's already happening. And in the spirit, it's already done. He is good, church. His kingdom is real. My friend Jedediah and his wife Pauline, two of my closest friends, and a couple of months ago, Pauline went to the bank and she left $300 sitting on the counter. Bummer. Because the guy that came in after her was not quite honest. And that $300 went bye-bye. And they found a receipt sitting on the desk. And so the bank called Pauline and said, "Do you have $300 in your wallet, the $300 that you withdrew?" And she said, "Oh, no. Oh, no." And they said, "Well, all that's here is the receipt, and the money is not. So we're sorry." Okay. But then Pauline starts praying. And she says, "Lord, I know it was my fault, but that money was stolen. And you said that you'll return what's stolen from us." And he said, "Ask me 7 times. Because that's what his word says. 7 times. And so she said, "Okay, Lord, I just believe you for $2,100. So her mom calls her. Her mom, they pay $300 to their mom to her mother and father for some past bill. I don't know what it is. And her mom says, "Don't worry about the $300 this month. Don't worry about that. I don't want you to be out another $300. Don't worry about that." Then we go up to Washington State and we play a festival up there. And people just start giving them money. Because we're out just ministering to people. I mean, this is like this big hippie noodle dancing fest, right? And all we did was speak the kingdom. Something really cool happened. A wildfire broke out just on the other side of the mountain we were playing on, right? And there's helicopters going over, and you can see the smoke coming over, right? And the festival director comes over to us. By the way, we're in the van taking communion, praying and taking communion, and he knocks on the window. "Hey, just want to let you guys know you may get canceled because there's a fire just on the other side of the hill and it's coming this way." And we said, "Don't worry about it. We'll be out there in 15 minutes. And we just said, "Lord, make the wind go the other way. Blow that fire the other way." Guess what happened? They did the whole festival. They said, the guy got on the stage after us. "By some fluke circumstance, the wind has changed direction." And we just went, "Yay, Jesus!" He said, "The wind has changed directions and the fire is going the other way." He's real. He is real. So people just start giving her money. Guess how much money they gave her? $1,800. She'd already had the three. So they gave her $1,800. And she got that money and she was like, "Jedediah, there's $1,800 here." The principles in his kingdom are real, y'all. If you don't know and you need to denounce the citizenship you have to the other world, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of ignorance, and you need to start walking in these principles, then do it now. Start now. Because there is a difference in disciples and people that follow around with Jesus. I read this, I just thought of this verse. I didn't tell it to Heather earlier. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Oh, there it is again. And healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and stop there. He saw crowds of people traveling around with him. And then he said to his disciples. Do you see that there's two different things? There are the people that travel around with Jesus, the people that come in and pay their dues, go on with life. And then there are disciples. There is a difference. There is a very distinct difference. Does Jesus have compassion on the people that come and pay their dues? Yes. He loves those people. But he says to them, the workers are few. He's saying, I need some leaders. I need some people to raise up and go get those people and teach them what I'm teaching you. So when they come in this church, and you know, sneak in at the last minute, out before the altar call, you know, somebody be out there. By the way, every Wednesday, I don't know if you know this, we have 30 minutes where we come in here and we pray. And I believe, just like Pastor Mark said, that fellowship and relationships are important, because in the kingdom of God, everything is relational before it's functional. The relationships are absolutely important. But you know what? We get to pray in here. It's totally awesome. I encourage more of you, come in here and let's pray. Let's pray that God sends a harvest, man, a wave of people. Everywhere we go, we see them. We see them. God gives us eyes to see them. Does that sound like a good idea? I think it sounds like a good idea. Well, I love you. I hope I didn't freak anybody out. But the kingdom advancement is, man, I don't know if there's anything more important. It's what he came to earth to do, was to establish his kingdom. And we get to be sons and daughters. When you get adopted into the kingdom of God, something happens. You know, God has been showing me the difference between an orphan and a son or daughter. You see, because I have orphans in my home. They're not orphans anymore, but they were at one time. And what happens when you bring an orphan into your home is they're very timid. They don't know who their mom and dad are. They don't know what the boundaries are. They don't know what their privileges are. They don't know what the promises are. They don't know if you're going to keep them safe. They don't know any of those things. So they just kind of hang back, right? And they kind of, they'll hide things, store food places, right? How many Christians do you know within the body of Christ live that way? They're orphans in their father's house. It's because they don't know who their dad is. They don't know the truth about him. What happens now? Well, Ruby, you know what? She wakes up in the morning before I do sometimes and goes right into the refrigerator, opens it wide up. I know who I am around here. He's my dad. I know what I'm allowed to do, and I know what I'm not, and I do it anyway sometimes. That's not the point, right? But there's a difference, because her identity now is that she is my daughter. Big, big difference in an orphan and a son or daughter. Don't live like an orphan in the kingdom of God, because that's not your identity. If you live like an orphan in the kingdom of God, you'll deal with things the way the world deals with things. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's just not the way it's supposed to be. I love you. Praise God.